ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नश्च प्रायेश भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भगवद्गीता 10th चैप्टर 34th वर्स। मृत्युः सर्वहरः च अहम् उद्भवः च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिः श्री वाक् च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिः मेधा धृतिः क्षमा। मृत्यु सर्वहरश्चाहम्। मृत्यु सर्वहरश्चाहम् उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिश्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। कीर्तिः श्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिक्षमा। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिक्षमा। मृत्युः सर्वहरश्चाहम्। मृत्युः सर्वहरश्चाहम् उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिर्श्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। कीर्तिर्श्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिक्षमा। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिक्षमा। मृत्यु सर्वहरश्चाहम्। भवश्चा भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिश्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृते क्षमा। मृत्यु सर्वहरश्चाहम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिश्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। तन्मेधा धृते क्षमा। मृत्युः सर्वहरश्चाहम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिः श्रीर्वाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिः क्षमा। मृत्युः सर्वहरश्चाहम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिः श्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिः क्षमा। मृत्युः सर्वहरश्चाहम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। मृत्युश्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। स्मृतिर्मेधा धृतिः क्षमा। मृत्युर्सर्वहरश्चाहम्। उद्भवश्च भविष्यताम्। कीर्तिश्रीवाक्च नारीणाम्। मेधा धृते क्षमा। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। மிருத்யு
டெத்
சர்வஹரஹா
ஆல்
டிவோரிங்
ச
ஆல்சோ அஹம்
ஐ ஆம்
உத்பவஹா
ஜெனரேஷன்
ச பவிஷ்யதாம் ஆல்சோ
பவிஷ்யதாம்
ஆஃப் ஃபியூச்சர் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன்ஸ்
கீர்த்தி
ஃபேம்
ஸ்ரீ
opulence or beauty,
walk,
fine speech,
cha,
also,
narinam,
a woman,
spritihi,
memory,
medha,
intelligence,
dhritihi,
firmness,
kshama,
patience. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. I am all devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. Purport. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus death is devouring every living entity at every moment, but the last stroke is called death itself. The death is Krishna. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born, they grow, they remain for some time, they reproduce, they dwindle, and finally they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb of that deliverance from the womb, that is Krishna. The first generation in the beginning of the all future activities. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti. And the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha, another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadiness, dhriti. And when one is fully qualified, yet humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience. Umagyadvirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksharan militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. ஸ்ரீச்சைதன்யாமனோபிஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதாமைஹம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம் வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரோ ஸ்ரீயுதாபத கமலம் ஸ்ரீகுருன் வைஷ்ணவாம்ஸ ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகணா ரகுநாதான்விதம் தம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனசிதம் கிருஷ்ணச்சைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதாகிருஷ்ணபாதான் சகணாலலிதா ஸ்ரீவிசாகாந்விதாம்ஸ்ச நமோம் விஷ்ணுபாதாய கிருஷ்ணப்ரேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவேதாந்த ஸ்வாமீநிதி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சாரஸ்வதே தேவே கௌரவாணி ப்ரசாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஸ்யாத் தேச தாரிணே நமோம் விஷ்ணுபாதாய கிருஷ்ணப்ரேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி நிதி நாமினே ஸ்ரீவாஷபானவே தேவி தயதாய கிருபாப்தயே கிருஷ்ண சம்பந்த விஜயான தாயினே பிரபவே நம மாதுரியோஜ்ஜல பிரேமாட்ய ஸ்ரீரூபானுகா பக்திதா ஸ்ரீகௌரா கருணாசக்தி விக்ரஹாய நமோஸ்துதே நமஸ்தே கௌரவாணி ஸ்ரீமூர்த்தயே தீனதாரிணே ரூபானுகா விருத்தாப சித்தாந்தத்வாந்தஹாரிணே நமோ கௌரகிஷோராய சாக்ஷாத் வைராக்யமூர்த்தயே விப்ரலம்பார சாம்போதே பதாம்புஜாயதே நமஹ நமோ பக்தே வினோதாய
Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanugavarayate Gauravirbhava Bhumestvam Nirdesha Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhava Mahashri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha Panchadatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jaitam Surator Pangur Mamanda Materigati Matsarvasva Badam Bojav Radha Madanamohano Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanastav Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtalibisevyamana Smarami Sriman Rasarasarambhi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karsham Venu Svaner Gopir Gopinataha Shriyastunaha Naptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, giving a Bhagavad Gita class in Prabhupada quarters is like the perfection of one's study of Bhagavad Gita. First time I'm getting the opportunity to speak here in Prabhupada's quarters. It's a very divine experience. Today the verse is Mrityuhu Sarvaharaschaham Uddhavascha Bhavishyatam Kirti Shri Vakcharinam Smitirmedha Dhatikshama. It's a very well quoted verse by Prabhupada, and any class you find, a minimum at least three classes, at least in two classes you will find this verse being quoted, at least the first part of it, that is Mrityuhu Sarvaharaschaham. So before we talk about this verse, let us see some background of this chapter and background of this verse. The background of this verse started actually in the 7th chapter itself. In the 7th chapter, Krishna says, two kinds of prakriti, para prakriti and apara prakriti. So now Krishna is understood through his energies. So prakriti means energy, and Krishna has already established there are two kinds of energy. And this is called Bhinna Prakriti, which is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, that is material nature, which is made up of three modes. And what is other Prakriti? Aparemitastvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param. There is one more Prakriti apart from this Prakriti, which is known as Para Prakriti Vidhime Param. So that is the living entity, that is the soul. So to understand Krishna, you need to understand him through the microcosm and the macrocosm. The microcosm understanding of Krishna, understanding Krishna through the microcosm, is to understand the soul. So by understanding the soul, you understand Krishna. And other one is what? By understanding the material nature, you try to understand Krishna. So in the beginning of the second chapter, Krishna has very elaborately described about the soul. So how to understand Krishna through understanding of the soul, that one subject is over. Now a very important subject, how to understand Krishna through the material energy, through his energy, rather the material energy, that is started in the 7th chapter. So Krishna started in the 7th chapter. He gave some things also. Balam balavantam chaham kamarava varjitam. I am the strength of the strength. Like that he spoke. And then in the 9th chapter again, he brought up this point of how he said that
మయా తతమిదం సర్వం జగదవ్యక్త మూర్తి మత్స్థాని సర్వభూతాని చ తతమస్థాని భూతాని పశ్చిమే యోగమైశ్వరం. హీ సోడ్ పశ్చిమే యోగం ఐశ్వరం. So he spoke about this, how Yoga Maheshwarya is there in the 9th chapter. Some glimpse of it, again expansion happened in the 9th chapter. But in the 10th chapter, when the 4 verses were spoken, that is known as the Chatushtloki Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna told, Aham sarvasya prabhavo bhaktah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante man bhubha bhava manvintva. Now Arjuna completely got satisfied. And he got so much interested, he told that how, Aham sarvasya prabhuha. Until unless somebody understands Krishna is the source of everything, Aham sarvasya prabhuha. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. From him everything manifests. Iti matva bhajante. Iti matva means this is the only way to understand Krishna. By understanding Krishna what happens? Iti matva bhajante. If somebody has to do the bhajan, he cannot do it until unless he has the understanding of the opulence of Krishna or the energies of Krishna. So as soon as Arjuna heard this verse, then in the 17th verse, he said, Arjuna told Krishna, I am looking at you, there is no problem. I am quite Krishna conscious. I am looking at you, talking to you. But what about when I go out? See, like you know, in the temple in front of the deity, it is very natural to be Krishna conscious because you have the deity, you have kirtan going on, you have devotees. If somebody even shouts at you, they say, oh, shout it to you as Haribo, like something like that. They remind you of Krishna, isn't it? But what about when you go out to your house or you see something outside? Everything actually makes you forget Krishna. So, how to remember Krishna even though you are looking at matter? That is the entire subject of the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter. That is actually very important. It is easy to be Krishna conscious in front of the deity when you are in the temple. But once you go out home, you see your wife, you see your children, you see money, you see bank balance, you see office, on the road you see the hoardings, you see so many things, isn't it? So how to maintain Krishna conscious, our Krishna consciousness, by seeing all these things, in spite of seeing all these things? You say, no, we should avoid it. How long you will avoid? How much you can avoid? It is impossible. You'll close your eyes. No, you cannot do that. So how to be Krishna conscious in spite of seeing these material things? You cannot be away from matter because you are surrounded by matter. The only way is to understand that this is Krishna's energy. Until unless we understand every money, everything what we see outside is Krishna's energy, we cannot maintain Krishna consciousness. When you see your bank balance, it is Krishna's. When you see your house, it is Krishna's. If you see your wife, it is Krishna's. If you see outside the whole day, wow, the cars. Once I was hearing one lecture where Prabhupada was looking at the traffic jam. Quite long he was looking at traffic jam. It's long traffic jam. Many cars were there. Many, you know, in the West you have very wonderful cars. Prabhupada was looking at him for quite half an hour. One devotee went and asked Prabhupada, what are you looking at? He saw he was looking at traffic jam for long. Then he told, I was just thinking how to engage all these cars in Krishna's service. It's a traffic jam. Just imagine. If you had been seeing the traffic jam, or if you were in the traffic jam, you'd be cursing. What is this traffic jam? These people are like that. There was no proper organization. What is happening? I have to go here. So just see. A pure devotee means, even though he is not seeing Krishna externally, he is always seeing Krishna. So that is the purpose of this chapter. That is why Arjuna, he asks this question. Katam vidvan aham yogin tam sada parichintayan. The word used is sada, always. Not just when I am in front of you. Even I go out, even when I see the Gandiva, even when I see the soldiers, even when I see anybody, even I see even the most horrible thing in this world, even the most unrelated thing to Krishna, like a waterfall and some raindrops. How can I think of Krishna in this situation? Sada parichintayan. And he also asks the details. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintayosmi bhagavan maya. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu. In what forms? In how can I think of you? Parichintayan chintayosi bhagavan maya. How should I do that? And that is the subject matter which is being discussed in the 10th chapter. Now Krishna, he starts describing his vibhutis. And what is the meaning of vibhuti? Vibhuti means very simple. Vibhuti means the energy of Krishna. The manifestation of the energy of Krishna is known as vibhuti. Now, there are two manifestations of energy of Krishna. One is spiritual, other is the material. So, in the vibhutis, there are certain things which are spiritual and some certain things material. So, they are given in a mixed format. There is no clear-cut distinction made between the material vibhutis and the spiritual vibhutis. Technically speaking, though material energy manifestation, material energy of Krishna, that is known as vibhuti, and the manifestation of the spiritual energy of Krishna is technically known as avesha. Technically. When you say avesha, it refers to Prahlad and all. And if when you talk about vibhuti, Ravana and all are vibhutis, isn't it? Technically speaking. But in a general way, Krishna has spoken, these are my vibhutis. He has not used the word avesha very specifically, and he has included certain spiritual things also here. So, ultimately, whether it is spiritual or material, we should understand it is energy of Krishna. Now, describing so many vibhutis, so many manifestations of the energies of Krishna, he has used certain words here. He says, aham. You see, every verse this word comes, aham, aham, aham. I am this, I am this, I am this. So there is a great scope for the Mayavadis to think. Just see, actually Krishna is not a separate person. He doesn't have any swarupa of himself. He is this, he is this, he is this. He doesn't have a distinct swarupa, existence other than this. Death is Krishna. It is not that Krishna is a separate person other than death. Like in the previous words, akara, akarosmi. I am akara. So Krishna is akara. There is no separate person called Krishna. So people may say this thing. For that, our acharyas have clearly established the beginning of the chapter. No. It is Krishna and energy and the manifestation of the energy. So what is being described is not just even energy. It is the manifestation of the energy. And behind that energy, there is energetic, that is Krishna. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. So first there is Krishna, and from Krishna the energies emanate, and then after emanation these energies are manifested. So what you are hearing, though Krishna is say it is me, it is to be understood, it is the manifestation of my energy. Like for example, in this verse we find, mrutyuhu sarvaharascha aham. What is the meaning of aham here? It should be understood as, what? Death is the manifestation of my time energy. And then he says, Udbhavascha bhavishyatam. I am the progenating energy, that is the birth energy. To give birth, it requires a lot of energy. And I am these qualities. So, it is Krishna has a separate swarupa. And we cannot say that Krishna doesn't have his swarupa. And the swarupa is there. And apart from the swarupa, Krishna's, his energy is there. The energy is manifesting in different forms. So, without this understanding, it is very difficult to understand the 10th chapter. And not only it is difficult to understand the 10th chapter, if somebody points out from the Shankara Bhashya or any Mayavadi talks about how there is no existence of Krishna based on this chapter, it is very difficult to defeat them. So, you have to go and establish that in the beginning, in the 7th chapter, he has clearly told, what did he say? That bhumi rapo analo vayur man kam mano buddhirevacha ahankaramiti me bhinna. Take that word bhinna prakriti. Me, I am there. And what is this? Bhinna prakriti. They exist separate from me, though they are mine. So that is why we should always understand there is shaktiman and shakti. There is shakti, shaktiman, bheda, abheda prakash. So, with this prerequisite of knowledge, we will try to understand this particular verse where Krishna says, Mrutyuhu sarvaharascham. Mrutyuhu. We are very well acquainted this word Mrutyu. Mrutyu means death. And what does death do? Sarvahara. It steals, it takes away everything. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about, it is not a new thing. You are dying at every moment. So people say, I am waiting for death. You don't have to. Already you are dying at every moment. Every moment there is death. Even the modern science also confirms this. So many cells are dying every second and new cells are formed. It is said that every 7 years you have totally new different body. All the cells which were there 7 years before, they are not there now. Even it is proved that every 7 years, you find 7 years, the body also changes, some people's nature, the voice, everything changes every 7 years. It is a rotation. So death is happening every second, every moment there is death happening. But among all the different kinds of deaths in pralaya, Krishna is that final blow, final death. When he comes and says, yes, now over. Mrityu sarvaharascham. So sarvahara, what does Krishna do while coming in the form of death? He comes and then steals away everything. The body. Everything is being stolen. Harha means he just steals away, takes away everything. Not even a single thing is left. To such an extent, even memory is also not there. You don't even remember your name, what to speak of any other thing. If you go and ask somebody, do you remember your previous life's name? Even that is also not there. He has completely stolen everything. That is the power of Krishna. So, time, kalosmi lokakshay krit pravruddho, like in the next chapter he talks about, again this point, kalosmi, two times Krishna has said that I am death, I am time. There he says, kalosmi, I am the time which is killing everyone. Now, here is Krishna is referring to the manifestation of his time energy. For that, it is a very complicated subject matter, but I will try to explain in a simple word. So, what is time? Time is energy of Krishna. Anybody who doesn't accept time as energy of Krishna is a Mayavadi. You don't ask why, because it is so much of Vedanta involved in it, but simple things you should understand that time is energy of Krishna. Now, what kind of energy is this time? It is an unconscious energy of Krishna. At the same time, you cannot say it is material also. Neither you can say it is spiritual. But you can just term it as an unconscious energy of Krishna. So, if somebody is conscious, you can go and plead him, please, please, forgive me. Since time is unconscious, it will just act. The death is coming. If you plead death, oh death, please don't take me. After few more minutes, doesn't even listen because they're unconscious. Suppose even the most cruel person, okay, is conscious, you can talk to him, you can plead him. There may be a chance that he may forgive, like Kamsa, isn't it? Devaki pleaded. Then Kamsa also felt, okay, what this small baby is going to do? Eighth one, I'll kill. Even a cruel person like Kamsa, he had some heart to forgive, forgo something. But time doesn't listen to anyone. You may be anybody, the time has to act. It has to act. That is the power of time, time energy of Krishna. It is unconscious, it is Krishna's energy, and it just doesn't listen to anyone. Just doesn't listen to anyone. So don't try to avoid death. The whole materialistic civilization is based on one thing: I want to avoid death. Every activity a person does is to avoid death, including life insurance. And big hospitals are built. In the hospital, you see, what is the percentage of healthy living? What is the amount of time, energy and space given for curing diseases and healthy living? Only a small part of it. And the rest of the research and the rest of the hospitals and the medical, everything is meant to how to avoid death, isn't it? Isn't it? ICUs. Most of the money goes there. Healthy living nobody teaches in the hospital. It is called, I don't know how many of you have engineering background, the modern medicine is based on breakdown maintenance. When you break down, you come, take medicine, go. But how to keep your body fit, nobody teaches in the hospital. Because if you teach them, then what will happen? You get diseased and diseased and diseased. I'll make money, I'll squeeze money out of you. But at the end, I'll squeeze all the money out of you just before you die. Isn't it? That is called ICU. So before Krishna comes as death, the whole materialistic civilization, the form of doctors, they'll squeeze everything out of you in the ICU. But the Ayurveda says different thing. What does Ayurveda say? Ayurveda, the first verse, Dhanavantri himself, he says this verse. He says that Sharire Jarjari Bhute Vyadikrasti Tatapare Aushadam Janavito Yam Vaidyo Narayano Hari. As long as you are alive, keep your body healthy. When death comes, na, raise your hands. But what we do in the modern civilization, as long as the body is there, we misuse it. We fall sick. When death comes, we try to hold on. Exactly opposite. Isn't it? So that is how, even in simple verses of Ayurveda, Ayurveda is what? Ayurveda is not a spiritual book. It is just a material book. It talks about how to surrender to Krishna when death comes. Wait for Krishna. The most horrible thing for a person in their life, from the Vedic point of view, from some Vedic culture, is to die outside the house. I'm talking materialistically. It is not something spiritual. My grandfather, when he was about to die, they were taking him to the hospital. Then my grandfather told that whoever takes me to the hospital is not my son. I have no relationship with him. I want to die here. So he just lied down there. And then they were giving medicines. So many kinds of medicines. Then he told, let me die peacefully. Let me die peacefully. All life you troubled me. At least at death, don't trouble me. When I am dying, don't trouble me. So he was chanting names of the Lord and left the body. Peacefully left the body. So, Mrityu Sarvarascham means what? When the death comes, you shall understand Krishna is coming. Krishna is coming. Welcome, no problem. Now here, now in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, I am taking about Vrittasura's prasanga. Vrittasura is preaching to Indra, you come and kill me. He was not only just waiting for death, he was welcoming death and trying to preach Indra, you kill me. So, a death devotee is, what to speak of not being afraid. Devotee is happy to invite death because it is Krishna. Because he sees death means manifestation of the time energy, and time is energy of Krishna. So he is seeing Krishna, so there is no problem. But a materialistic person doesn't see Krishna. When he doesn't see Krishna, what does he see? Yamadutas he will see. He will see Yamadutas. That is why he is afraid of it. So, Mrityuhu Sarvahaschaham, what is the understanding, what we get? A devotee who has perfect understanding of this Mrityuhu Sarvaharascham, it is Krishna's energy, time energy. So come, let it come, no problem. There is a famous statement in all the in Prabhupada books. I did not personally see it in Prabhupada books, but it is a famous statement where devotees make in the lectures. For a non-devotee, Krishna comes as death, and for a devotee, death comes as Krishna. It is like, when a devotee is there, he said, death comes, okay, it's Krishna coming. For a non-devotee also Krishna comes. How he comes? In the form of death. So this is the thing, or the first point. Now the second point about this verse is that Uddhavascha Bhavishyatam, not only birth. Somebody may say, oh, destruction, anybody can do. Birth, that also requires a lot of energy. Somebody else does it, what? Krishna says, yes. Birth also, it is because of me. Udbhava means birth. Like you have six transformations of the body. What are the six transformations? We know very well. Out of it, the first one is birth. And among the six things, nobody has the right for, nobody has any authority for birth. Means, it is not by your endeavor birth happens. Other things may happen by somebody's endeavor. For example, death. Somebody may come and kill you. Isn't it? You may say, I killed him. But birth, nobody can say, I am the cause of person birth. You may say, no. I impregnated, that is how you were born. Mother may say, I gave birth. Acha? Is it so? No. Until unless Krishna's grace is there, birth will not happen. Now, just after Vrittasura's prasanga, which I am teaching Bhakti Vaibhav, Chitrakesu prasanga started. He married how many 10 million wives to give birth. It could not happen. So Krishna's mercy is not there. So birth also happens until unless Krishna's hand is there. There is a hand behind birth also. Krishna's hand behind birth also. Udbhavaha bhavishyatam. Not only just bhavishyatam means in future anybody, anything, wherever you will find birth, it is all just because of me. It is me you should understand. That is why when somebody is born, the Vedic culture talks about how they worship Krishna. Oh, because of the blessings of the Lord, we got a son. It is not because of we endeavored, this so-called family planning and all. This is all nonsense. This is not at all what to speak of Vedic culture. It is not even any culture. It is not even animals. Animals also don't do family planning. Just see. They also live according to nature. They also know. Even dogs, pigs, they don't do any family planning. It is this stupid human modern psychology which talks about all these things. So, because they don't have understanding. It is not because of your endeavor, sons come, children come. It is Krishna. So let Krishna act. Bhavishyatam. Udbhavahas Bhavishyatam. Anything, Udbhavah, any birth is because of Krishna. So this is about the second point. Now goes the very highly misunderstood statement in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That is, Kirti Shri Vaksha Narinam and then Spritir Medha Ditikshama. Now the word Narinam has been used here. And seven qualities of woman are being described here. So let us see what are these seven qualities. Kirtihi Shri, number two is Shri, third is Vak, Smritir, Medha, Dhriti, Kshama.
So these are the seven qualities. Now, these seven qualities which are mentioned of woman should be understood in a very proper way. The first understanding of this is Narinam, among women, you will find these seven qualities. These seven qualities. In these seven qualities manifested in women, where are they actually originating from? They are originating from Shri. Originating from Shri. So, though they are seven, actually the first understanding is to say six. The six are originally present in what? In whom? Srimati Radharani. It is originally present in whom? Sita Devi. Originally present in Lakshmi, in the Vraja Gopis. These are the qualities originally present in them. Now, to the extent of one's devotional attitude, these qualities are invested in different women. Then Krishna says that these qualities originally belong to me, they are mine. And whoever have these qualities, to whatever extent, to that extent you should understand I am them. I am these qualities. So that is why the more a person performs devotional service, these qualities increase. Now you may say, are these not qualities required for men? Why the word Narinam has been used? So the first understanding is, why the word Narinam is used? The Narinam, why women more? Because it is a Vedic system. In a house, if there is a boy and a girl, boy does a mistake, na? He will be okay. Today or tomorrow, he will be okay. But if a girl does a mistake, he would take it very seriously. Why? Because the reputation of the family becomes spoiled. People will talk more about it. That is why there is more strictness on development of the divine qualities in the daughter. And especially when the daughter becomes older, what will happen? She gives birth. The quality of the civilization is based on whom? It is based on Narinam. That is why there is so much of concern about development of divine qualities in women in the Vedic system. That is why this word Narinam has been used. Now we find, whenever there is a talk about character, whose character we discuss more? In the society elders, they talk about the woman's character. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, when Arjuna was giving arguments,
Why is not fight? What is the first thing he said? That when dharma is lost, dharmesha dushtasnar varshneya jayate varna sankara. Says stree to dushtas varshneya jayate varna sankara. As soon as when dharma is lost, immediately the effect is on woman. That is why the word narinam has been used. This is the general understanding of this verse. But let it go into a little bit depth. What exactly this means? Here, Kirti Sri Vakcha Narina Smritir Medha Dikshama, it refers to Narinam, refers to what? Narinam here refers to the presiding deities of these qualities. Generally, Narinam is plural. Now, their qualities. These qualities, they have presiding deities. In our Vedic system, everything is understood that there is a controlling deity or a presiding deity for everything. Now, there is a presiding deity for Kirti, there is a presiding deity for Vak, there is a presiding deity of Spriti, there is a presiding deity of Medha, there is a presiding deity of Kshama. Like this, these seven qualities, they have different presiding deities. So let us see what these presiding deities are. When we talk about presiding deities, we should understand that there is a controller for a particular deity, for the quality. What to speak of quality? Even there is a controller for the winking of the right eye. There is a particular deity of the winking of the left eye, isn't it? Sometimes only one eye starts winking. There is a presiding deity for the heart, there is a presiding deity for the right hand, there is a presiding deity for the left hand. In this way, there are so many different deities who are actually presiding different different aspects of our body. So, Srivaksha Narinam. Now, in this, there is a little bit classification. Let us see. Now, there are seven things, but though they are seven things, basically there are only two things spoken. Number one is Kirti. Number two is what? Smriti. There are only two things spoken. Kirti and Smriti. That is why Kirtir Srivaksha Narinam Smritir Medadritishkshama. So how to understand this thing? First we will take Kirti. Kirti means what? Fame. Now, fame of anyone is dependent on what? Shri and Vak. Shri means beauty, opulence. Any opulence is Shri. So somebody is very beautiful, lot of hands, so many opulences, wealth. Naturally, what they become? They become famous, isn't it? And now, in spite of they being very famous, because of their opulences, if the Vak is not good, if the speech is not good, all the fame is destroyed. Say, I thought he is a beautiful person, but I went, there is badbu, badbu? Foul smell coming from the mouth. Foul smell means what? You are not talking properly. So you may see a very beautiful girl or a very handsome boy, you get attracted, but when you go and they talk like very slang language, you feel like, obnoxious, isn't it? So, though because of your beauty, you are attracting many people. Fame means you attract many people. So you attract, that is why Krishna, because of his qualities, because of his Shri, because of his opulences, he becomes all attractive. He is all famous. So, here, Vak. These two determine one's fame. One is his opulence, beauty, etc., etc. And the second one is Vak. So, among these two, any opulences and any kind of beauty or any kind of money or property or different strength or what you may say, all these things, the most important thing is not Shri, it is Vak. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, rather the third chapter, when Arjuna asks even though I don't want to do, still I am forced. Why? Atakena pruktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchanapi varshneya baladiva niyojitaha. I am forced to do something which I don't want to do.
And also, he says, sorry, that is not the question. Coming back to the second chapter, Arjuna asks this question, that Sita Prajna Sita Prajnyasya Ka Bhasha Sita Dirkam Prabhasheta Kim Asit Vrajita Kim. He asks four questions. How can I understand this Sita Prajna? Sita Prajnyasya Ka Bhasha Kim Prabhasheta? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the speech of the man is the most important. Speech is the most important quality. So, vak is a very important quality. That is why Charak Pandit clearly says, Bharya Chapriya Bhashini. Suppose in your house, your wife is not speaking sweetly to you, you should run away from the house. If you have a son who is a murkha, who is a fool, you should run away from the house. You should not stay in the house anywhere, because he is going to destroy all your property, all your reputation, everything will be destroyed because your son is a fool. And your wife is not speaking sweet words. You are tired and you came back from the office, you are sore, and you sit down and she speaks very rough language. Then what will happen? Better, why have a house? So, in this way, vak is a very, very important quality, kirti. So, kirti of a person is dependent on shri and vak. Chanarinam. And smriti, smriti means what? Smriti means memory. Now, memory is dependent on other three things. That is, medha, dhriti, kshama. Medha means what? Medha means intelligence. So, if somebody has lot of memory, but if no intelligence, what is the use of that? Lot of memory and no intelligence. It is like computer, a Veda base in a computer. Yeah, you said you have lot. You see, computer has got memory, isn't it? But no intelligence. So what is the use of that? Better you have less memory but more intelligence. You can use that memory in a proper way, isn't it? Medha. And then there is dhriti. Dhriti, even though you have intelligence, you have come to a proper determination, you have come to a proper decision, but the decision can be executed only when you have dhriti. Dhriti means what? Firmness. Yes, I will do it. When you are decided, I want to do it by your intelligence, then you require what? Firmness. If there is no firmness, then what is the use of your intelligence and what is the use of your memory? And ultimately, there is kshama. Kshama, in general sense, is understood as forgiving. The first person whom you have to forgive is yourself. We think of forgiving many people, isn't it? Oh, he has done something wrong, we should forgive him. Oh, he has done something wrong, I'll forgive him. But how many mistakes you have done? So first forgive yourself. Because in spite of your dhriti, you are endeavoring. So many times it happens, you may become successful, you may not be successful. So many obstacles may come. At that time, you require this what? You require kshama. Kshama means, as I told, to forgive oneself. To forgive oneself. In this way, these seven things are actually the devis. They are actually deities, the presiding deities. So, by worshipping these presiding deities, you get these qualities. Of course, even though we say worshipping these presiding deities, ultimately, who is the person, personality, in whom all these qualities are present? It is Srimati Radharani, or Sita Devi, or Lakshmi, whomever you think. In this way, if somebody worships Krishna, these qualities very naturally come. That is what is the understanding of this particular verse. So, we stop here. It is 6:30. Any questions, please do ask. Any questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for a wonderful class. I had a question. There are many manifestations of Krishna.
Yeah.
Many incarnations. So, they are simultaneously one and different. So, how do we understand this oneness between the in the incarnations?
Very simple. That verse is there from the Brahma Samhita. Deepārchire vaidashāntaram abhyapetya deepāyate viruta hetu samāna dharma. So, what is that? Ninth line. Deepāyate na samāna dharma yastādrake vaivishchutaya vibhāti govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajāmi. So, Brahma, he speaks this verse saying that how there is in Diwali time you put all the lamps in one line, and then to light each lamp, what you do? You light one lamp.
and go on lighting all the lamps. At the end, what you do? You keep this lamp at the end. You look at, how are they? Samana dharma. Though samana dharma, but there is one special. What is that lamp? Which lighted all. That is Krishna. So all the incarnations of the Lord, they are samana, because they are all transcendental. So from the tattva point of view, they are all Vishnu tattvas. Krishna is all the Vishnu tattva. Everybody is Vishnu only. But there is one special Vishnu. Who is that? Krishna, Vrajendranandana.
I want to continue.
Yeah.
So is it that all the different Vishnus, but they all have their own personalities, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. They have their personalities, they have their own devotees, they have their own moods, they have their own planets, everything they own. Saket, Lord Ramachandra is there, Narasimha has his planet. What to speak of that? Even Krishna, Vrajendran Krishna has his planet, there is Varaka Krishna, his planet, there is Kurukshetra Krishna, who is known as Parthasarathi, he has his own planet. Parthasarathi Krishna is 24 hours speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Yes? And Bhishma is looking at it like, you know, he's stunned and then he's like that. Bhishma, Arjuna, and they live in Parthasarathi Loka. Isn't it? See, when in this world, a stupid human being who is earning few thousand rupees, he can have 2-3 houses. Huh? Then not to speak of the Supreme Lord, isn't it? Can't he not have or what? Only thing is, here, you know, he has to go to one house to other house. There he can simultaneously manifest in all the houses. That is the thing. Yeah.
Also, is Brahma Jyoti a person? Is it a conscious aspect of Krishna? Is Brahma Jyoti conscious?
Yes, it is conscious. Sat Chittananda. If you read the Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita introduction, he says Brahma Jyoti is having only Sat aspect, not Chitta and Ananda aspect. So in that Sat, Sat is, it is eternal. So now when you speak of conscious, that Chit aspect is missing, in the sense that you are one with the Brahma Jyoti. So when you are one, what to speak of being conscious? Like, for example, I am conscious of the presence of this mic. I can only be conscious of the presence of this mic when I know I am distinct from the mic. You got the point?
Can you repeat?
Okay. I am conscious of the presence of the mic. When I can be conscious? When I know I am not the mic. Isn't it? When you are one, now what is the question of being conscious? There is no use of consciousness. There is only Sat. There is only experience of eternity. So, but still, we cannot say it is not conscious. Consciousness is there, but it is of no use because your existence is eternal. Your only realization is only eternity. When you realize Paramatma, that is the time Sat and Chit both will act. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Roji. Thank Krishna. You for a nice class. You said as long as you're living, take care of your health, and when death comes, just surrender.
Yes.
But as devotees, we are still. First of all, how to recognize that now this is death call? Because even if I get a typhoid fever, I will feel that okay, I can get treated and get cured. So we keep even as devotees, we are all avoiding death.
Ayurveda says, "Sharire jarjari bhute." Sharira jarjari bhute means all the bones and all are like dhila. Vyadigraste, so many vyadis. So many, not multiple diseases, you know, multiple, not one. Multiple. One you could, other comes. One you could, other comes. Vyadigraste. That is the time. Anybody who lives in mode of goodness will understand. The problem is, we are living in mode of passion. That is why the simple knowledge that death is coming, we can understand. I have seen in my village, all people, whenever they are about to die, they go, I mean, to jaane wala. In my family, they are, most of them, they are told to somebody that they are leaving in few days. At least few people. They are told, I mean, don't endeavor much. No. they are told. Because they are in so much a mode of goodness, they will understand. It's a, because you are living with this body for so many days and you don't have to know this body. They know this body, but if you live in, you will come to know. Now it's coming. It's coming. It doesn't require any education. It is just an awareness. Any more questions?
So Prabhupada explains that for the devotee takes care of his body like well-oiled machine.
Yes, yes.
And for that he takes no reaction. So in order to do his service, he should take care.
That is true.
Because he belongs to Krishna.
That is true. That is 100%.
But when death comes knocking at your door, he doesn't knock twice. So you yes. might as well surrender to it.
Yeah, when that death comes, before that, if somebody lives in mode of goodness, he'll come to know. That is for sure, he'll come to know. One point which I literally forgot to tell was, when these we are talking about the presiding deities, I'll just mention that Kirti, Medha and Dhriti were all daughters, Daksha's daughters are Kirti, Medha, Dhriti, Spriti and Shama. They are Daksha's daughters. And among them, Kirti, Medha and Dhriti were married to Dharma. Kirti, Medha and Dhriti. They are married to Dharma. So, when somebody practices Dharma, all these becomes maid servant to such a lady and such a person. They are actually presiding deities. Actually, when we say Daksha's daughters, they were actually presiding deities of these qualities. And then you have Smriti was married to Angira. Angira is one, Gira means words, Angira means who can speak fluently, constantly. So one who has got good Smriti can speak fluently, constantly. So that is why you can hear that Angira had Smriti as the wife. And then Kshama was married to Pulaha, Pula Rishi. Shri, the daughter of great Bhrigu, was born from the womb of Khyati, the daughter of Daksha. And Shri Vishnu accepted her as wife. So, and then we have Vak. She is the daughter of Brahma. Brahma's daughter. So now Krishna says they are my opulence because these seven, among all the presiding deities, they were specifically blessed by Krishna. Specifically blessed by Krishna. That is why he says that these are my opulences. So I just made a note of it. Okay? So,
wait. Thanks for the enlightening class, Prabhu. I just wanted to mention that the for years, many devotees were passing on this knowledge that you mentioned about the every soul in the body changes within every 7 years.
Yeah.
But then after some time, some years, someone discovered there's some conflicting evidence that that's not so. And there's some cells in the body that do remain, like that longer duration or throughout the lifetime. I just thought I'd mention that because...
True. So that is why modern science always gives some conflicting things. That shows that they are confused. So we should not even talk about them. But we are forced because people have faith in it. Isn't it? We have, actually, kind of Veda Vyasa, if somebody doesn't accept Veda, you should not even look at him. You should not even talk to him. Will you talk to your dog? You don't talk, isn't it? So if somebody doesn't accept Veda, you don't even talk to him. That dog may bark at you. Will you bark at the dog? This is the example given by Madhva, I'm telling you. But, he says, what to do? To save this country, Madhva says, to save this country. At that time, there were a lot of Buddhists and Jains who were like conquered many kings. Conquered many kings means kings were doing what they were telling because of their austerity and all. So I had to defeat them. And Jains and Buddhists, they don't accept Veda as Pramana. Jains and Buddhists, they don't accept Veda as Pramana. So that is why he said, I am arguing with them. And that too he just spoke few words. But strictly speaking, a person who follows the Veda, in the Vedic culture, you should not speak to a person who has no faith in Veda and who has who don't accept Veda. What to speak of speaking in the lecture? But Prabhupada spoke like Madhva, following Madhvas. Prabhupada was trying to as Buddhists and Jains who were very much antagonistic, and they were capturing Sanatana Dharma. In Prabhupada's time, it was the modern science, so he had to speak so much. But it is not even fit to be mentionable. But what to do? Isn't it? Like that. They're confused. That is why, whenever somebody speaks something contradictory, that means they are confused. If you speak to a confused person, you will be confused. Isn't it? Better not. But what to do? The situation demands. Okay.
Krishna Prabhu. Practically speaking, even though we are hearing, even though we are getting so many instructions, not at least for the devotees, when the death comes, the fear comes. However, we hear, even though we know that death is Krishna, but still the fear comes.
Yes.
When we travel by car, or when we go by some, if anything happens, or some disease comes, as Mataji is asking, the fear comes.
True.
That it is very difficult to maintain the consciousness. So how to behave? How?
So when you mentioned in your examples, there are like two distinct things. One is akasmata, like accident and all, like travel car and all. The other one is natural. Okay. When akasmat something happens, it's like at that time, if you open the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, praying for Krishna's protection when akasmat prithyu comes, that is not considered to be antagonistic to pure devotional service. What is that verse? Pure devotional service. Nyabilashita shunyam gyana karma dhyanavrita manukulena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttamam. So in that, anya abilashita. If you see that word ita, the explanation given to that ita by Jiva Goswami is that even though a devotee may desire please save me, a tiger has come or something like that is within the purview of your devotional friend. What I am talking here is about natural death, isn't it? And it comes to the natural death, we follow as devotees the Ayurvedic principle. This verse from Ayurveda. Sharire jarjari bhute vyadigraste. Like you have the hospice. That is meant for this. Like even the modern medicine, they are coming to this point that when all the medicines fail and there is no hope, and we should have a separate department of medicine called the hospice. And that is now booming now in very rare in the world. So they have forced to come to the position. Isn't it? That is already spoken in one verse in Ayurveda. Isn't it? So just give up all medicine. Don't even take anything. Just some basic something. That's all. To just you can able to chant. So that is how the Vedic system has done. They never used to have ambulances. Isn't it? No, you got a heart attack, let us go, or something like that. So they used to have a healthy life. That is called Ayurveda. Ayu means life. Veda means knowledge, the knowledge of life, the science of life. But the modern day hospitals are science of death. 90% of the income for the hospital is from ICU and LSDs, life-saving drugs. Not from Crocin and that kind of things. Not from the OPDs. OPD is just so that, you know, somehow get him into the ICU. It's not. Just peanuts. They call it peanuts. You are a doctor. Bob, I have not offended you. They call it peanuts. He's a doctor. He's saying it's called peanuts, isn't it? That means what? Maximum studies and research is on what? How much research is being done to make the people's life healthy? and how much research is made how to extend, prolong one's death, prolong misery. Death is misery, na? How to prolong misery? If you see, 90-100% is on that. How to prolong misery? Nobody thinks about general health of the populace. Health of the popular, not general people. Nobody thinks about it. Isn't it? So, when natural death comes, you have time. So at that time, by the association of devotees, by having kirtan and reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it is for sure Krishna will help you if you have done service throughout his life. He will equip you with that strength. Like, for example, you have been studying, reading everything. All of a sudden, one day, temple commander, somebody says, you give class. Puja, you have not given, I am fear. Isn't it? But you have 3 days' time, you prepare. So gradually you meet devotees, you prepare. And prepare, how gradually you get confident, you did give class. So Krishna gave the strength. So in the same way, when he could give strength for that one simple activity of giving class or so, face that class in the audience, that is, in one sense, worse than death in one, when you gave the first class, isn't it? When he spoke in front of a few people for the first time, he can't, you know, will not prepare for that. Whatever is required, what Krishna says, here's verse, I'll give, and whatever devotees have, and protect. Yoga, kshemam, vahami, aham. So at that particular moment, to face death, there is special strength required, Krishna gives it. He gives it. You may think, oh, I don't have it now. He will give. As required, it comes now. When you don't require, why require? Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Yes. Yes.